97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, how about them Cowboys? I had to, Joe. I had to. Welcome to the post-game show on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with Joe Stazak. After what possibly may have been the longest 76ers preseason postgame show in the history of postgame shows. Right. Dylan McKinnon here producing the show, 610-632-0975. If there's any consolation for Eagles fans, any whatsoever, it is that the Dallas Cowboys lost to the New York Jets today. The stinking New York Jets, the lowly New York Jets. No matter how badly the officials wanted to give that game to the Dallas Cowboys, six straight penalties inside 2 minutes, three defensive pass interference calls. They could not, and then they don't even call it on the, what they could have called it on was on the two-point conversion to Jason Witten. And the Jets win that football game after getting demolished by the Eagles. And, of course, it's a different football team with Sam Darnold. But we're not here to talk about the Jets or the Cowboys, Joe. We're here to break down the Eagles losing 38-20 to the Minnesota Vikings. I had this one wrong. Flat out had it wrong. I had the Eagles winning this game. I thought it would be a closer 26-24 win at the end. A lot went wrong for the Eagles, but you're not going to win a lot of football games when your secondary is abysmal, when your receivers continue to make key drops, and when you have no one in that receiver core other than the running back, Miles Sanders, as you told me before the show, because he's the only guy. He leads the team, almost leads the team in receiving yards this year, making plays. They're not making plays, and you're not going to be able to keep up with offenses. But, Joe, I have a silver lining for Eagles fans. And as bad as this loss was today, I remember just last November, the 48-7 demolition at New Orleans that dropped the Eagles to 4-6. And we thought the season's over. There's no way they can come back. Well, they are in much better shape right now. And this wasn't as bad of a loss as that one was. Their offense is still, at least Carson Wentz is playing. And today he had a good game. All the Carson haters can't complain about Carson Wentz today. They're in better shape, especially when you look at the NFC East and you're tied with Dallas going into Sunday Night Football next week. So the silver lining for me is this. You're in a division that's there to be had, and your secondary, which is abysmal, is depleted by injuries. If Jalen Mills comes back, and he had said that he's ready, he's going to be ready when he's eligible. He's eligible now. If Ronald Darby can come back, Avante Maddox to me looks like he's a little bit way. He's still got the neck brace on. You're missing your three starting corners. When they get those guys back, I'm not even counting on trades. I don't know that how he's going to be able to go out there and bring in an impact starting cornerback. But if you get those guys back, that's where I look at and go, all right, you got a chance. But until they do, they have to fix this because you're not going to win football games the way the secondary's playing.
About 10 minutes before the game, Robbie, I call my parents every 10 minutes before each game and get
really?
Their feel
is
on it.
Really? Is that tradition?
I always do, yeah.
Like
my mom's not into the X's and O's, but she tells me who she thinks is going to win. My dad's more analytical, and he said, I heard you picked the Vikings last night on the air. You got to explain that to me. And I said, Dad, this is the best wide receiving duo, I believe, in the league, and they are going to absolutely obliterate this secondary, and they did not disappoint.
No.
And I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to be that easy on these guys because when Darby comes back and maybe Avante Maddox and Jalen Mills, I still think they're not good secondary.
They're not world beaters.
They're not world beaters.
But those two were starting corners on a Super Bowl champion. And I know Jalen Mills hasn't played in a year. To expect him to come in after being out for a year and be a savior is a little far-fetched right now. They do need some help. And they didn't get that help in the form of pressure.
Three quarterback hits. One sack.
It was a key sack. If they're not getting pressure on a quarterback and they're allowing guys to sit back there, Kirk Cousins, people love to jump on Kirk Cousins because of his record against teams with winning records. He's a very good quarterback statistically in a regular season. He's under pressure, he's a pretty good quarterback under pressure in the pocket, too, as well. He doesn't win big games.
Nope.
Today was a big game. He stepped up and absolutely destroyed what is an injury-depleted secondary. I don't know how they can fix this quickly enough to face Dallas next Sunday night, yet I still think they can go into Dallas and win that game. But what I saw today was you have to win football games against teams like this by going back and forth on the offense. And the offense has to keep up. Carson Wentz didn't throw a pass. They were down 10-0 before he threw his first pass.
Yep.
So you get a terrible penalty on a kickoff after you're down 7-0. Now you got to start inside the 10. Then you go three straight run plays and you go three and out. So
very creative first series.
The only time I think they had a lot of success is when Carson is moving out of the pocket, when he's rolling right, when he's rolling left. That's the only time I'm confident in this offense, because these receivers, and Alshon Jeffrey made some plays, also dropped the fourth down pass.
Key fourth down pass.
And that 26-yard catch down the sideline, he's a yard and a half in bounds and then loses his footing.
He loses the balance and goes out of bounds.
If he doesn't, it's a touchdown. I want to see somebody step up and make a play. Mac Hollins, 2 targets. I don't know how many snaps he had out there. He drops the touchdown right before Doug Peterson goes for the fake field goal. So there's a lot wrong with this team as a whole. The offense can't keep up. The defense can't cover. And when they missed DeSean Jackson so badly. And I got to give you credit, because you have been on Howie Roseman for weeks and for months, Joe, and you have been calling out Howie Roseman for his talent evaluation. And I've been a little reluctant, because I'm giving him the Super Bowl champion pass. He won a Super Bowl. His talent evaluation leaves a lot to be desired, because this team hasn't drafted a speedy wide receiver in years. Since DeSean Jackson.
Since DeSean Jackson.
And now you had to go out and get 32-year-old DeSean Jackson to come back and be the guy who rescues you, because you can't draft and develop a speedy wide receiver. You give me J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He's not doing anything.
Did he dress today?
I saw him on the field for one snap. We'll get the snap totals tomorrow.
But I mean, the draft picks, they don't make an impact. And they're not stars. They don't develop stars. Do you know that Adam Thielen was undrafted, and Stephon Diggs was a 5th-round pick?
And look at those two guys.
Look at those two guys.
And imagine them playing with a quarterback like Carson Wentz instead of Kirk Cousins.
Wow. It's just unbelievable.
They have tried to fix their draft mistakes through free agency and through trades. This is why you have the third oldest team in the NFL. And right now, things look very bleak. However, you're 3-3 and tied for first, because the Cowboys lost to the Jets. So we want to get your thoughts on this game, where you see the Eagles right now. I know the defense is abysmal. What for you needs to be fixed, corrected the most? How do they do it? What's your outlook for the season? We're going to talk all things Eagles tonight. We'll take you up until midnight. We got some Zombieland tickets that we'll give away too, and we'll tell you about that coming up. 610-632-0975. Mark, hang on. We'll get to you next. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.929 on 975 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with Joe Stazak, taking you till midnight, talking about this Eagles debacle of a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. They are still tied for first place with the Dallas Cowboys, however, because the Cowboys lost to the Jets. Doesn't make the Eagles a better football team, but it makes their situation just a little bit better. Let's go to the lines and talk to Mark and Wayne here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Gentlemen, J-E-T-S, Jets.
No.
Somewhat salvaged my day.
Yes, Dallas, you're not the only Eagles fan who felt that way, for sure.
Absolutely. You know, Dallas has not beaten a team all year that's won a game yet. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is boy, did I misevaluate the Eagles' talent. You guys touched on it. The secondary is horrible. But you know what? We picked on the cornerbacks. The safeties were horrible today. A couple of those touchdowns, there was nobody playing center field. That one post to Diggs, that was Malcolm Jenkins or McLeod's play. Douglas had the outside, and there was, you could see he was looking for help. And even one of the commentators, I forget who the announcer was, Charles Davis, I think.
Yes.
It was Seth Joyner after the game, said these are older players. A lot of these corners are younger players. Not that that's an excuse, but the safeties, Malcolm's had a great career, and McLeod's been around. They got to know better than that. And Doug's play calling. Let me just get this in. I don't want to keep you guys. That last drive before that stupid fake field goal, if you recall, they were like 3rd and 4 or something. They call that stupid long pass to Matt Collins, who hasn't caught anything all year.
And it was in his hands. It was there. He should have caught it.
But the play was, get the first down, kill the clock, and that gives you 3 shots, and if you don't get it, you get a field goal. I thought that was a horrible play call. And if I see one more damn bubble screen, I'm going
to Alshon Jeffrey. I called that one of them. I was like, here it comes, and he got stopped. Good stuff, Mark. Appreciate the call. Joe, what did you think of the decision to attempt a fake field goal in that spot rather than try and get within 11 at halftime and all the momentum? It was 24-10. It would have been 24-13 if he makes, 39-yarder.
Take the points. I thought it was ridiculous. And they get the ball to start the second half.
Yeah.
Could cut it to 4. And then the play call, I mean, what did you actually see? They said we saw something we liked. Where'd that go? And if Goddard doesn't catch the ball and step out of bounds, that clock's running out. If he does catch the ball and step out of bounds, you probably end up taking one shot at the end zone and then kicking a field goal anyway.
Kicking another field
goal. Basically, what you did on 4th and 4, you trusted Jake Elliott more than Carson Wentz.
And yeah, you were hoping you had a trick play.
Trick play.
If that play is not designed to be a touchdown, and he said it's designed just to get you a first down and go out of bounds, listen, I like Doug's aggressiveness. We all forever will look at the Philly special as one of the greatest play calls in the history, to me, in the history of sports. The timing, everything around it. So I like his aggressiveness. However, in that spot, to call it, I'm fine with a trick play, but not that particular one in that spot. And then as far as what Mark was saying about safety help, that's going to be interesting to try and find out. Because after the game, of course, Peterson says, I got to go back and look at the film. Then we saw some comments from Malcolm Jenkins about if you're a cornerback and we can't trust you to be out there alone, then we can't use you. And that, to me, is Malcolm kind of sending a message to these guys like, hey, you got to do your job. You can't count on me and McLeod to give you help. But I would like to know if there was a defensive breakdown.
There was.
It sure looked like
it,
right?
It was a blown coverage.
Yeah, it sure looked like it.
But here's the thing, and I heard Seth Joyner say this after the game too, and I completely agree with him. You're playing man, and yes, you're supposed to have help behind you, but you got to play man like there's no help. And he was already beat by 3 yards. He was already beat by 3 yards on the post.
Oh, he could not keep up with Stephon Diggs.
And
at all.
I've seen him do this before when he got beat a couple games ago deep and also in the Redskins game. You look at the replay, it was Terry McLaurin in game one, and it was Diggs today. When he cuts on the post, he's heading towards the post mm-hmm. in the middle of the field. Douglas isn't tracking him. He's still going straight backwards. So there's more separation in between. He had no chance of getting him. But I don't get the path to the ball.
He is, and he was consistent, Russell, for a few games. He was of the bunch the best guy. However, in reality, what I think his best spot is as a fourth cornerback. When, once you have Mills, Darby, and Maddox healthy, he's going to be more than likely your fourth cornerback. And if Cravon LeBlanc comes back, and I forgot to add him to the mix, he would be maybe your four, considering the way he played last year. And Rasul would be your fifth cornerback. They need help, and they're not getting any better anytime soon.
You know what they need? Your boy from Miami, or maybe Chris Carson. They need help. They need to acquire
Xavien Howard.
Yeah, Xavien Howard.
Or Chris Harris.
Yep. That's right. Chris Harris, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And Denver won today, right? So Denver wins that game, and they are now 2-4. I'm sure they'll still move Chris Harris for a four. They got to do something. And I kind of feel, though, Joe, because they're such an old team, and they value draft picks so much that they're going to be reluctant to trade a draft pick because they need to restock this team with young players. I don't know that they will. And they do have some picks coming next year in the form of extra compensation picks. I'd part with a fourth round pick if it's going to bring in a cornerback that's going to help you right now.
In a heartbeat.
Man, we talked about Jalen Ramsey. I think that boat, that ship has sailed. The owner told the AP he's not trading him. And I think that's going to be where that sits right now. They got to, I kind of feel like they may sit there and go, all right, we got four guys at some point we expect to come back. What they may try and do. And I wonder, what's your priority here? Is it a corner help, given that at least you got four guys coming back, versus if you had to pick one, a corner or a speedy wide receiver? Because I don't know if you can count on Deshaun. Even when he comes back, I don't know. He's 32 years old with an abdominal injury that probably required surgery that he didn't want to have. If he comes back, is he going to play a half and then be out another 6 weeks?
To answer your question, and I've been, you know, clamoring for a cornerback for weeks, I think they need the speedy receiver because, like you said, you can't count on Deshaun. You also see how very ordinary this offense is without a deep threat. Now, as much as they need a corner, I don't think one guy is going to really solve their problems back there. He's going to help, but he's not going to solve their problems. This team needs to win games through their offense. The team was built around their offense. So I believe if given the opportunity to take one or the other, you go with the speedy wide receiver.
A guy like Robbie Anderson,
mm-hmm.
New York Jets.
New York Jets.
He interested a little bit.
92-yard play today.
92-yard touchdown today. 26 years old. He's
I cut him last week.
16 for 256. They cut him?
I did.
You cut him in your fantasy. Good move.
Good move.
Good
always
move.
A good move.
610-632-0975. You look at the offense today, the running game really didn't have an opportunity to get once you fall behind as much as the Eagles did. Jordan Howard was he was okay, 13 for 49, 3.8 yards per carry, below his average. He's usually around 4.6, 4.7. I like the way he's still consistently moving forward. Miles Sanders' biggest contribution, once again, only 3 for 6 on the ground. Biggest contribution for him was those three catches for 86 yards. The Eagles' five biggest pass plays over the last four games have all been to Miles Sanders.
Can you believe that?
I don't
get it.
30-yard plays.
He's a running back and chunk.
And hey, you know what? It's great that you can utilize him that way. But when you have a receiving core like this that can't get open, and this is what's happening, Joe. They're not getting open off the line of scrimmage. Nelson Aguilar, and today he ended up with 4 for 42. How many targets did he have?
He had seven targets.
He actually had seven targets. He had the deep ball. There was one where it should have been called pass interference on Minnesota on Nelson. There was another one on Zach Ertz that they didn't call pass interference. I'm usually not the kind of guy who'll complain about officiating, but those two were terrible considering they called them against Sidney Jones.
Yes.
Sidney Jones had a bad game, but there were two ticky-tack pass interference. You legitimately can probably call pass interference anytime you want
on
to.
Every play.
Just be consistent.
Right.
If you're going to call him on Sidney Jones, call him the other way. If you're going to call him in a Dallas Jets game one way, call him the other way. There's a lot of inconsistent officiating. Let's get to Albert in West Philly real quick. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Albert?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, Albert?
I just wanted to talk about, like, the Eagles. So basically, There's all this talk about trade, who we're going to trade for, receiver, corner. I kind of feel the way y'all feel. You know, I don't feel like one corner is going to change anything with us. That team's going off it. So this is what I would do. Cincinnati's 0-5, 0-6. Why don't you call and try to get AJ Green out of there, and you get the best of both worlds. You get an elite receiver when he's healthy. If Deshaun comes back, you can move him into the slot. And then now your offense is dynamic. And just try to beat teams with offense and hope that possibly maybe the corner can get healthy, your D-line can get some pressure and, you know, try to play ahead instead of what we have now.
Listen, if they can make a move to get A.J. Green, and his injury history the past couple years is concerning, but I would absolutely take a shot at trying to add A.J. Green. And the Bengals, in the situation that they're in, they can't hold out for a first-round pick or even a second-round pick. You might be able to get A.J. Green for a third or a fourth, especially considering his contract situation. That's a guy, if he's healthy, he helps you, but I don't know how much you can count on him. Kind of reminds me a little bit of DeSean Jackson.
Right.
He's hurt a lot.
Kind of. Yeah, he is, but, you know, his ankle thing, you know, when he's bricks. You know, hopefully he's back and, you know, they're still losing and, you know, I'm sure he wants to go somewhere and win. I don't think they'll hold him back.
He's making $12 million this year and I know you would think he would want to go somewhere to win. He actually said this week, I'd like to stay here. They value me. Nobody's going to value you as much as the place you got drafted. It's home. I don't know if he's just saying that to cater to the local fans and the reporters there. But if he means that, man, I don't know. I don't know what's going through A.J. Green's mind. Hey, Albert, you want to go to see Zombieland this Tuesday night?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and Dylan will get your information. You have just won a pair of tickets to see an early screening of Zombieland Double Tap this upcoming Tuesday, October 15th at the Regal in King of Prussia at 7:30 p.m. A decade after Zombieland became a cult classic, the lead cast returns to try and survive new kinds of zombies, new human threats, and most of all, each other. See, it's just like that. We're in that giving mood tonight, Joe. If you're a good call, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Zombieland. 610-632-0975. How you feeling about the Eagles after this 38-20 loss to the Minnesota Vikings? He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. Post-game show. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak here till midnight. 610-632-0975. Joe, I don't know if you do this too. I go down every single possession, chart them. Right now, and this is when I'm not at the game. When I'm at the game covering the game, it's a different story. But when sure. When I get to actually watch the game and sit there and have the time, and I'm writing every 2 seconds, I got my get the notes out, and right off the start, I got holding on the kickoff on Ford, and that started them out at the 7. And we already talked about the 3 runs and out. Then you had a third down stop on the second series against Minnesota, when Minnesota had possession on their second series. There was a third down stop. Then there's a holding call on Rasul Douglas that it gives them a first down. They end up, instead of forcing a punt, they end up continuing to drive, get the 39-yard field goal, go up 10-0. At that point, the Vikings had run 21 plays to the Eagles' 3.
Yep.
3. 21-3. Eagles get the ball, and Jason Peters goes down that next series. And he was in and out. Did he finish the game?
I'm
no,
not sure
he didn't finish the game.
I don't think
no,
he did.
Dillard finished the game, and he wasn't. The very first play that Dillard's in Carson Wentz has to escape Everson Griffin because he beats Dillard, and he gets away from him on that one. That ends up being a 53-yard field goal by Jake Elliott. Then next possession, you're quickly go down 17-3 because Rasul got beat for 62 yards, and Rodney McLeod did not come back and give him help. So now you're down 17-3. They get the ball, and they try and go for it on a 4th-and-2 at the 49. And that was the incomplete pass in Alshon Jeffrey's hands. But the problem is, on that possession right there, you're down 17-3. 2nd-and-2, that was the deep ball to Nelson Aguilar. There was no flag called on it. And then 3rd-and-2, he goes to Goddard. I think that was a drop.
It was a drop.
Yeah, I put it there as a drop.
I do too.
So now you had Aguilar. You don't get the call for first down. You get the drop on 3rd-and-2. Then you get the drop on 4th-and-2. Next thing you know, you're at the 49. You're giving them the ball. First play, 51 yards to Stephon Diggs. And again, Douglas didn't get help, this time from Malcolm Jenkins. You're down 24-3, and the offense at that point went 3 and out. Then really generated a one possession where they got points, a 53-yard field goal, and then another one where you had two drops that killed you. And you cannot win football games when your defense can't stop anybody and the offense can't keep up because they continually fail to execute. I don't know what the stats are around the league right now, but I got to think this Eagles receiving core has dropped more passes than anyone
else.
They
lead the league.
They absolutely do,
right?
They lead
the league, yep.
They have to. And it's not as if you have guys who haven't had sure hands over the past. Alshon Jeffrey dropped today. Okay, that was a rare one. But Nelson Aguilar, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, surprisingly. Zach Ertz had a bad football game.
He did have
game.
A bad football
Fumbles
game.
Later on, too.
That hurt.
As well. Mac Hollins, he don't have a track record of making catches anyway. This team needs some help. And to think that the offense falls apart because of one guy, DeSean Jackson, who they didn't even have last year, and they didn't have the Super Bowl year, is mind-blowing to me. And that's why I feel, and you agree, that if they can get a speedy receiver to take that spot, that might be a bigger upgrade for this team than trying to add a cornerback when you still have four guys who are out, your top four guys. At some point, you would expect to come back.
Yeah, this is true. I think that the loss of DeSean Jackson is it hurts the team. But I don't think they should be this bad or this anemic offensively because of one guy. They still have talent.
Yeah.
Ertz, the best tight end in the league. Alshon Jeffrey's good receiver, track record. Dallas Goedert's a nice compliment to Ertz. Nelson Aguilar can have a game here or there. They're not that bad, and they're not playing that well, and these drops are killing them. And here's what I thought was a key stretch, because as bad as they have been in the first half, they actually made it a ball game. All right, and I give them credit. They mm-hmm. they had the momentum. And again, I thought the fake field goal was terrible because they had momentum. They cut the lead to 7 with a score at the beginning of the second half.
Right.
Vikes are staggering a little bit because then they go 5 plays, minus 2 yards, and out. They give the ball back to the Eagles, down 7 and driving again. They had good field position. On 3rd-and-3... needing to keep the drive alive with Minnesota on the ropes, just like you talked about earlier, they throw a wide receiver screen into the teeth of that defense, caused them to kick a field goal, and then the next series, Minnesota goes right down the field and scores. But I thought that was key. I thought that was a key play. I didn't like the play call.
Nope.
And they didn't execute it.
Second time they did that same play call, and the way they were lined up, it just looked like they're about to
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
And that was the drive where Jeffrey couldn't stay in bounds on the 26-yard
exactly
catch
right.
down the sideline, and they ended up settling for a 40-yard field goal. But you still, even though that happened, you had the 3rd-and-3, and it was a very predictable play call right there. That goes to 24-20 instead of 24-24, and then from there, it was all downhill. Let's go to Lamar in Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lamar?
What's up? How you guys making out?
Awesome, buddy.
Good, man.
Man, I need a few minutes. Joe, I always like your opinion, Joe. And I just want to say that I feel like as an Eagles fan, as a Philly fan, that I'm just hearing the same garbage on the radio from everybody at all times. I never feel like the blame is being put where it belongs. They have no chemistry with Carson Wentz. I don't care what it is, what the reason is. They have no chemistry with him. And if we're going to keep on dogging the cornerback, for 3 years this is going on. The cornerbacks, Jalen Mills, bites on a double move. When will we put Schwartz on a hot seat?
I've put him on the hot seat personally. I just think the philosophy is flawed, going with a wide nine, no pressure. And the defensive line, can't let them off the hook today. Like you said, Robbie, three quarterback hits, one sack in 30 dropbacks.
And they lost their left tackle.
Yep.
They lost their left tackle when the left tackle goes out. Lamar, the thing is with these cornerbacks, this is where I give Jim Schwartz some leeway. He's missing his top four guys. So he's going out there. He's just he doesn't have the talent. This is similar to the Phillies and Gabe Kapler. Did he have the talent? He didn't have the talent. Jim Schwartz doesn't have the talent in that secondary right now, and it's not on him. It's on the front office to get him the help and get him the talent because they won a Super Bowl with this guy 2 years ago. And I know Tom Brady carved them up in a Super Bowl, but the games leading up to it, the Atlanta game in the playoffs, the Minnesota game in the playoffs, the whole season, they had a solid defense. The problem is they just don't have the talent in that secondary right now.
Can I squeeze one more point in there?
Sure.
For you to say that he don't have the talent is flawed. He has the talent. And then if you don't have the talent, when will you adapt to the talent that you have?
Lamar, if the guys aren't good enough, how's that flawed? Does Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones, do they look like starting cornerbacks in the NFL to you?
Nope.
No, so you give them help over the top. There's the answer right there. No,
Both times today, there was a breakdown in coverage. The corners thought there was help over the top. The safeties weren't there. I don't know who messed up, whether it was McLeod and Jenkins or what.
They still got beat badly, though. That's what I'm saying.
Did you hear Kirk Cousins after the game in his press conference? Kirk Cousins said, in the deep balls, it's almost like you want to hurry up and snap the ball and throw it because you see there's one single high safety and you keep catching him flat-footed. And then before you know it, you just put the ball up and let the receiver make a play.
When the defensive line, and I appreciate the call, man, thank you. When the defensive line isn't getting to the quarterback with this secondary, you're going to get torched.
Had all the time in the world.
He had all the time.
Except for Luke Falk, a bad quarterback can carve you up.
Who is no longer in the NFL.
A bad quarterback can carve you up if given the time, and especially with this secondary. And Kirk Cousins had all the time in the world today.
And Kirk Cousins, to me, is not as bad as people think
he is.
He's
not. I've always liked him. I was a little sketchy and almost jumping off his bandwagon a couple weeks ago against the Bears.
He always beats the Eagles 6-3 now.
6-3 against the Birds. Always plays them tough. But he's come back. I give him a lot of credit because his wide receiver called him out. The other guy hightailed it.
Two good games.
He's 660 yards in the last two games with a completion percentage of, I believe, 70.
Wow. 610-632-0975. Dean, hang on. We'll get to you next. Open lines after that. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.